Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
I could eat a fish for hour.
If you said face off,
I can eat a peach for hours.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Rob Schneider in studio. This half of the show brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com.
Thanks, Adam. Man. I agree with you 100% about the whole dog thing, because I actually got one of those dog passes to, like, to not necessarily fly with the dog, but to, like, you know, take it into someplace, you know.
You did?
Yeah, because I'm an idiot. That's the same thing, you know. If it, like, you don't have to actually go to a doctor or anything. You just go online again, and then you wear the vest. And then everybody, you take advantage of people's goodwill is what it is. Because people just assume, well, he's got a thing, it's a special thing, and then, like, you know, so I can bring my little...
But now, I see that
I totally agree. It's a horrible, horrible, wrong thing to do.
I don't assume. See, I now assume, and by the way, just let me bring this home. This half of the show brought to you by Castrol Titanium Strong for maximum energy performance and Geico. Go to geico.com. Now, I now assume that when a story comes out in the Me Too movement that the guy's just getting railroaded now. I've now assumed. Until I start hearing some details when they go, you hear what Chris Hardwick's up to? I go, okay, please. That now I'm at that point.
Yeah, but
you can't.
You're not allowed to think that because you have a dick. You're not allowed to go there.
I am a dick, but
No. You are. No. You can't unless you know.
No. What I'm saying is if I see enough dogs in airports and hear enough stories about Chris Hardwick, I now am tuned out. I now no longer believe. I'm the opposite, which is I shall investigate.
I know,
and
but,
we shall
but
see.
You're not. You're the exception, though, because you think of independently. You go to that second step. Most people don't. Most people, I would just say, they'll take that first wave and just go, oh, that must be. And then by the time it's proved that it isn't, then the media's already moved on.
It's weird when stories, if you hang out long enough, you'll see stories. Like, I lived in L.A. my whole life. There was a time when the story was pit bull attacks, in the late 80s. It was like pit bull attacks. And then you just turn on the news, and it would all lead with, we have another pit bull attack, except for this was a border collie, and it didn't bite anybody. Anyway, now let's do some weather. And you're like, wait a minute, how's that a pit bull attack? And then you realize, how do pit bull attacks get hot?
Right.
You know, how do you tell a pit bull, hey, let's trend?
There was
you
a really,
I mean?
Really famous actor, very, really, really, really famous actor before social media, who had a couple of hookers come to his house. This is a really, really famous thing. And it did get in the news, but it hasn't come back, and I'm just waiting for it. He, like, refused to pay the hookers and then was literally, like, pounding their head against the ground, all this stuff. And it was in, like, a USA Today, and it just kind of, like, just went away. And if that happened, like, or got out.
Fatty Weinstein, the worst of all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Combo.
But this is, like, an actor. It was one of the most famous actors that ever.
Are we waiting for it to come out?
I don't know, but I'm just, like, I remember that story when it happened in the 80s. Late 80s. It was in, like, USA Today, and then, like, boom, gone. You know,
like an America's Sweetheart type actor, we'd be shocked.
No, not an America's Sweetheart type, but like an iconic actor.
Interesting.
So what I'm saying is there more actual shark attacks or pit bull attacks or killer bee attacks because we've decided it's hot?
No, it's just what it is. It's the shiny object in the water that people stare at.
Right,
that's
what I'm saying.
It's
like when
caveman,
I start,
it's just some sort of slightly more complicated caveman-esque behavior.
But there's a
looking at the shiny object.
But there's a bad news trend, which is just because you've decided pit bull attacks are hot and getting you ratings doesn't mean you can manufacture. We still have to wait.
For
I have to wait for somebody
attack.
To. Right. It has to do something. We cannot just keep manufacturing things.
And kids getting kidnapped. In the 80s, it was all about kids
but
getting
look,
kidnapped.
It's not even like. I remember when USA Today came out, because it was like an article that was like as long as it would take for like to take a crap. That was the thing about it was the McDonald's. Now that is like in-depth news compared to when you go to your phone now. You don't even look at, you don't even go to the article. You just go to the two lines on top. Mm-hmm. So in this situation, you would just say Chris Hardwick is accused of blah blah, and that's it. You don't even go to the article. Right. And so that's how, you know, that's how fast and how quick it is.
We're doing a little history. Are we doing history with Rob Schneider?
Well, I was going to do the food stuff, but it seemed everything else is going on, and you know, this.
You want to do food? You want to do history? What do you want to do?
I think the food, food history, because what
food history. Oh, we'll combine our two loves. Do we have an intro for that?
Do I?
Okay. I guess we do.
We have the regular history with Rob.
And now, a history lesson.
Well, Michelangelo was commissioned to do the Sistine Chapel. They also had notes
with Rob Schneider.
That's true, by the way. So, I was talking about food because you're a foodie.
I'm not a foodie.
You're a foodie. Like you food. Eat food. You
I
like
do eat food.
Food. So that makes you a
foodie. And as much as he enjoys food, yes.
Yes, I do enjoy food.
So when did our food get crappy was an interesting thing to me. Mm-hmm. When did the food become, like, why you can eat whatever you want in Europe and then, you know, you don't get fat and you come back and by the time the plane lands, you're fat again in America? And so that's an interesting.
You know,
thing
it was a, you know, was speaking of that. You know, watching the news and the detention centers all that kind of stuff.
Horrible.
They're doing a lot of kind of B roll of migrant folk walking for miles and stuff. And what they're doing is they're pointing the camera down, not showing their faces or whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of people carrying extra pounds. You would never see folks in the past that were destitute, that had just walked 1,000 miles and seeking asylum or whatever else, with like an extra
South
junk
America's
in the trunk.
South America's catching on to what
we're
doing.
I'm saying, like, these are poor people that are walking and they're carrying around an extra 25 pounds.
So it is an absolutely horrible thing, the detention centers and separating. They're chill, you know. You know, suffering knows no borders or nationalities or races. We're all one race, right? But how, you know, the thing is, so there's no but to it. It's just that.
I'm saying the butts are big.
Yes. Well, the thing about it is, like, it's just you go to, like, if you're going to feed your family, you got, and you don't have it, you have the littlest amount of money, you're going to go to where you can the cheapest, most horrible thing, and that's not good for you, but it feeds your kids, you know? So, but there's not one news agency is talking about, is there a reason for this migration that has happening, or is there American policies like this so-called free trade? Free trade is just a misnomer, and the same, it makes it sound good. That's like calling slavery like vacation time. You know what?
It
does sound better. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it way better. You know, so what it is though?
Send Kanye a text.
Free trade is just an excuse for, and what's happened in this book, if you want to read about it, the Great Regression, is talked about it in the 90s, what was going to happen with free trade, and free trade opening up borders for corporations. What they really were able to do was to go around governmental bodies that protected workers, that guaranteed some sort of safety for workers, that guaranteed some sort of environmental protections for them. And what this did was it went around them, and anytime they can go someplace, they go open up a factory in Mexico, and then that economy depends on that. And they can make it cheaper in Vietnam in a month, they leave, and then there's no repercussions. For instance, like chemical company, I'm going to say it was DuPont that sued Mexico. This is like almost 20 years ago. It's after NAFTA, and because they were polluting, the Mexican government shut down because they were polluting in the Rio Grande, and so they literally poisoning people, poisoning the water, and so they shut them down. DuPont sues for $1 billion. The Mexican government and wins because you can't shut down because according to the so-called NAFTA free trade agreement. So these are the kind of things are there governmental policies that are undermining other companies, other countries' economies to the point where they have to flee. Like,
it's unfair to sue a country that doesn't have attorneys, though. You sue Sweden or Germany or Japan, I'm all ears. Come on, Mexico.
You see the Accidente billboard.
They don't have a lawyer. Yeah. All their lawyers moved here, grew crazy mustaches, and took out billboards.
Of the free trade agreement, the NAFTA is unfair to the Mexican corn farmers. It just is because they protect and they, you know, you know, under the underwrite, American corn farmers get money, and basically they and then the Mexican corn farmers don't get money from their government, and they can't compete anymore. So they go, you know, the Mexican corn farmers bailed out America in the 1970s when there was a bacteria that was killing the corn and wiped out 70% of the corn, and it was a Mexican strain of corn that brought back to America that saved the corn industry here. And what do? We basically bankrupted the corn farmers in northern Mexico. So what do they need? They have to feed their family. They got to come somewhere. So they have to ask, not like, you know, there are people there, but why are there people there? And are there things that we can do to lessen the misery of these people who have to come here? And yes, some of it is gang violence and whatever. But, like, you know, how about if we stop, if we got to undermine, to at least eliminate some of the drug problems we have in America, then you wouldn't have it. Like, for instance, if you legalized every drug, I'm not saying to do this, but if you did, so that therefore there was no reason that you could not make more money, M13 or whatever the new gang is, wouldn't make money. First of all, I don't know why Adam Levine is singing for M13. I think it's a big mistake. But I think you could, then, you know, we have to come up with
corporate gigs, a corporate gig. You know it. We've done a few things we're not too proud of.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I agree. And so what happens is the Mexican cartels find out, just to bolster your point, that we're going to start making, we're going to decriminalize pot. And we're going to make pot legal in Colorado and California and wherever else. And they're ahead of us, so they start focusing on heroin or whatever. Yeah. But they immediately, somebody goes to the cartel, you know, the factory and says, slow down the pot production and ratchet up the heroin.
Yeah, in an hour.
And now we're off and running. They're not in the business of being stymied by our rules. They're in the business of adapting and getting around them.
And murdering people.
Essentially, when you see that stream of water coming down your street because someone's washing the van up the street and you see it going, and at some point you see it get to some twigs and some leaves, it just hits it, goes around. It stops, like, it'll slow down momentarily, and then you'll see it just kind of go around, and at some point it'll hit some garbage or something. You go, where's that water going? And it just goes, like, you can slow it down, you can move it a little bit, like, have it go around, then it comes back. That's what the syndicate mafia, that's what drug cartels, that's what they all do. That's what everyone does.
But what about the legal syndicate, the legal cartel who sell legal heroin?
Well, that's
the big pharma.
They do the same thing. So the point
they
is this.
They just buy off politician. They
might
as well
make it legal and stop. Yeah. You're
not
going to
fix
it.
That's what I'm for. Yeah. But I do think like the legal cartels, the legal drug cartels, I think there's only been one prosecution for this whole fentanyl thing. It was like one small group and a couple of people went to like play tennis at a little camp for like eight months or whatever. But that real drug cartel is the big pharma.
For prison. You know, I got to say, I don't like to talk about myself, and I certainly don't like to talk about myself being right. But I said to Dr. Drew years and years ago, and Dr. Drew now admits as much. I used to sit next to him when we did Loveline, and we started hearing about people with their opioids and, you know, 1998, you know.
Yeah.
And this guy's on, you know, someone would call in, they go, 100 Vicodin a day habit, blah, blah, blah. And I'd say to Drew, well, this must be good for the drug companies, right? I mean, otherwise, these units, these things called Vicodin, the average American gets 3 or 4 to take home after dental surgery every 7 years. You know what I mean? Versus this ex-NFL player is doing 100 a day. And that guy's doing this. And I said, it must be good for their bottom line. And he said, no. And I said, why no? And he said, they don't want this. And I said, why not?
Yeah,
why wouldn't you want it? Why?
They're completely heartless.
But I have Dr. Drew sitting next to me, whose name starts with Doctor, and I'm from North Hollywood, and he's saying to me, believe me, they don't want this. And I go,
no,
why wouldn't they want it? Well, hold on. Now he says.
He agrees with it. Okay. Because here's the thing about it is that you want to believe, just like the dog people, you want to believe that they're doing it for the right reason. They really need their dog, but they don't. Because people basically, you're right, they're selfish, they're whatever. And the same thing with these corporations. Like, for instance, when they come up with a drug that kills people, what was the drug that was like the heart, it was another pain pill or whatever. My mother was on it. It killed 50,000 people. Okay. And then they pay those because that's just the cost of doing business for Big Pharma. They really don't care. It's just, you know.
Look at the Ford Pinto.
Yeah. They knew about that. It's going to explode. Well, it's cheaper to pay off the people that get killed and burned to death than it is to change it.
I literally
it's a business decision.
Had two high school friends burned to death in a Pinto.
Wow.
It was crazy because they burnt to death in a Pinto wagon, which you didn't really hear that much about, but it was just show the Ford Pinto.
So it was that fast where it was just the car would just burst into flames?
The design flaw was the rear, the fuel tank was in the rear.
Yeah.
That if the car was rear-ended at a lowish speed, that the bumper would pierce the rear tank filled with gas and the car could burst into flames. These poor guys, Robert Caceres and Leonard Ishu, Robert and Lenny, there's a haunting picture in the yearbook of when I played football in my junior year, those two on the sideline with their arm around each other, like 9 months before they burnt to death. And whenever one's got a big smile, they both have like big smiles on their face and they're just standing there on the sideline. One was a kicker and the other was an interior lineman, which is weird, but they were just photoed. We'll find it. It's a haunting picture, but Robert and Lenny were driving to CSUN, Cal State Northridge, and the year they graduated high school in June, and now it's September, they were starting at CSUN, and they're driving along the 405 freeway, and somebody rear-ended them, and then it was horrible because two cars got wedged next to them, and they're just in this inferno. And they never saw their 19th birthday.
Jesus.
And I still think about those guys. And they're really sweet guys, really funny guys, really nice guys. And they're going off to college. I think Caceres, he probably would have been Hispanic.
And Leonard knew about this before this.
Oh, yeah. Leonard Sick. Ishu was Egyptian, I believe. But one was the kicker and the other was interior lineman. And they're heading off to college.
But at a certain point...
Yes, Ford knew about it, and Ford... See, here's what I'm saying to everybody, whether it's Ford or whether it's, corn farmers or whether it's Apple or whatever. Yeah. Stop thinking companies have personalities. They have bottom lines.
Yeah,
they try to convince you that they make their cars with love or the good vibes or whatever it is.
Shell commercials.
Yeah, it's all about good vibes.
We're working green energy. No, you're not. You got three guys doing green energy. You're going to go, if it's the Arctic or if you're going to go to somebody's backyard and just, they really are heartless.
They have a bottom line. Well, yes, they're heartless.
Yeah.
The same way an ottoman is heartless. Like, it doesn't care.
It possesses no heart.
A job. Hold your feet up.
It's continental drift. It's going to move slowly. There does come to a point, like in Ford Pinto, they came to a point where they had to do something because it did affect their bottom line, because it did become a big enough issue.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, then no one's going to want to buy these cars. Okay, now we got to do something.
Yeah, they might calculate that into their equation now.
Yeah.
What about social media or something? Back then, it's going to be, $800 a unit times 2 million units to retrofit these cars versus the handful of lawsuits we have to settle up. Good.
Done. And then there's a problem of regulation. And then you have to have some sort of regulation because people will always take advantage of the best they can. However, if you have too much, then the government gets in control. And then, that's a real issue. Like with my family who have these hospitals in the East Coast, they literally the insurance companies will tell them how much time they can get in there with their, like if Mr. Rosenberg breaks his hip, they go, okay, well, the hospital.
Why has it got to be a black guy?
well, Mr. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
If
Larry Rosenberg, okay, or Lionel Rosenberg.
Your family does what?
They have these hospitals, old folks' homes, like hospitals as well, and they take care of people. They're like hospice patients.
That's the Filipino side,
yes,
right?
Yes, they have to. They have to be in the healthcare.
See that, Max Pana?
You have
That's
to.
How it works.
His
that
mom
is,
still that devastated. Is racist, he's not a nurse.
Racist and accurate. Welcome to racist and accurate. Anyway, so they have to go to nursing school. So anyway.
So I'm late. I was behind a Asian broad, and
she's on the way to that. No, but if you ask, if you meet some, I see a Filipino woman, I just automatically ask her to check my blood pressure. I don't even ask her name.
It's a big time nursing culture, right?
It is. But
I like that. It means two things. It means nurturing meets. I got a pretty good idea on what's going on, like which way the wind is blowing from an economy standpoint. Because you're not going to get outsourced. Like they're always. It's always at the top of what we need list, which is nurses. All right, let me tell you. If you're looking for a job, look no further than ZipRecruiter. If you're looking or you're hiring. Hiring used to be hard. Now it's easy. They only have to go to one place, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's 80% within 24 hours with results like that. It's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. That is ZipRecruiter.com/ADAM. One more time, write it down, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. The smartest way to hire. I want to plug. Hold on. I'm going to give you a plug, Rob.
Thank you, buddy.
I realize I've been up to date on that. A Real Rob is the TV show. Season 2 is available now to binge watch on Netflix. And also Stand Up Ontario Improv coming up August 3rd through the 5th. So mark that down on your calendar. You can go to robschneider.com if you want to find out any information.
I'm playing someplace in Washington, I think, in July 25th.
We will find that.
I'll find that.
We will find that
so,
out.
But what you're talking about, like how fat people are and like what it is, and there's a reason for it. And including we've been managed to, one of our great exports now is obesity. We're exporting obesity to South America because
good, get them out.
The food is crap. Because the food isn't
I'm sorry,
80% of all Americans, like 100 years ago, literally just around World War I, 80% we had was agrarian. It was an agrarian culture. That was like, this is what America was, farmers. And then after World War I, it kind of really switched. And so what happened was you had the industrialization of food, which kind of came in around the 1930s. And here's what happened, interestingly, when they started to like make bread like in a mass production way, it ended up being, and this is during the Great Depression, it ended up being crap. It ended up being like there's no nutrients in it. People were literally eating bread and starving because of the way they were making it. And that's when you got the term fortified bread.
Right.
Because they put 17 and fortified with 17 minerals.
Yeah, fortified.
Unfortunately, there's like 34 or 50 that you need in there. And so it was basically still a half empty bread. But people were eating it and starving because the food was no good. So it's the same thing now. We have to change our farming system is to a more of a rotating crops because you're only putting – when they put nitrates into the soil for the farms, they're only putting one thing in it. So that's why like you have a carrot now is not a carrot of 50 years ago. And it's directly proportional to what's happening with illness in America.
You're not going – it's all – so I work construction and I work with a lot of like poor Latino guys. And the notion of Trader Joe's and getting a salad or getting a green smoothie for $4 or $5 versus going to Taco Bell or McDonald's for lunch, it ain't on the table. Like the notion of a hamburger, fries, McNuggets,
a whole meal,
like a whole big meal for like $3.99, like meat, beef, savory, cheese, fries, all that stuff. Or, you know, Taco Bell, like 5 tacos and a burrito, whatever, versus like some Whole Foods, juice. Like they're not down with it.
Society's going to have to do something. We're going to go broke. We're not going to be able, when you have like the amount of obesity and illness in America now, you just won't be able to continue. Like they're putting, you know, antibiotics is put in as a preventative measure in the animal feed. Because it acts as a slight growth. Enhancer.
You guys tell me if this sounds, you tell me what this sounds like or if this rings true or whatever. So I start it just kind of crossed my mind. And I don't know if there's anything that supports this, but it's interesting. I've noticed that the women are really putting on the weight. And men are putting on the weight. But the men, I'm thinking about the dudes I'm talking about that I used to work with, they're on their feet all day they're physically, they're poor, so they don't have a desk job. They're not doing data entry.
How about this?
They're on their feet and they're poor and they're working
This? They're advertising now. You never used to see like... specific heavy people in advertising, unless it was like a joke or something, like a Chris Farley kind of thing, or like it would be like. And now it's like literally, I walked into Target the other day, and there's a mannequin, a huge mannequin, and I'm like, wow, times have changed. It was a huge mannequin. It must have been, if that was a human being, that human being would have been a woman, weighed about 240. And that is like a market. That is a real, like there is a corporate decision. They said, hey, we got some real customers and they're this big. We got to sell them to this. And so there's like that section in the store.
Well, look, whether it's, you know, airplane seats or Disneyland rides or, you know, the overall section at the Target, adjustments shall be made.
Well, like you said, if there's money to make, follow the money.
Absolutely. All right, Rob, why don't we take a break and then you hang out and we'll do some news. You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right, quick break. Come back with Rob, do some news.
Corolla Drinks presents Bands in the Sand, July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. Mo Lauda and The Humble, plus Roses and Cigarettes.
Tonight I'm going out straight till dawn.
Loxy. The Smoking Kills.
Just another Southern California.
The beach is free. The Mangria and Endless Rant IPA and Lager will cost you a little bit. Mo Lauda and The Humble.
You couldn't tell by now.
Headlines, Bands in the Sand.
You need to save your
July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Join us as we get it on the beach. For more, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit AdamCarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, a new viral video is making the rounds. It's from the Sacramento Bee. They report that this video has been released of this doctor mocking a patient who was claiming he was having an anxiety attack. So 20-year-old Samuel Bardwell.
I like this dude already.
This lady.
Lady doctor.
Yeah. They're called doctors.
They don't let them. What country is this in?
It's in this one.
I've even heard this. You know it's random.
Let me set the stage for you. This kid's 20 years old. He went. He collapsed at a summer basketball class at his new college. It sounds like his dad's with him, the one who's filming very stealthily. In a video shot by his father, Dr. Beth Keegstra is shown saying he's not the least bit sick. Try and sit him up. Try and get him to leave the hospital. Yeah.
Trying to do some racial math.
Okay.
Basketball camp. But his dad's there. Shit.
Well, he's been brought in for anxiety.
Yeah.
He's been brought in for anxiety.
Yeah, okay, all right, good.
And they made him wait.
I heard basketball camp, and we're back. All right, anxiety, yeah.
So she's been suspended. She was a physician practicing over there for 31 years. It's kind of, I don't know, it's a minute and a half, but it's worth it. Here we go.
Do it.
Haven't seen it.
This is video.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
I'm sorry, sir. You were the least sick of all the people who are here who are dying.
Okay.
There. So you picked your head up. Now, don't try to tell me you can't move. Come on,
yeah,
sit
I can
up.
Pick my head up.
Yeah, sit up.
She's
sit
good.
Up. Dude, I like you can't move. Sit up. I'm having you sit up.
I can't get up.
Because he needs to sit up and he won't
She's
let me.
She's literally yanking my arm to get
I'm
up.
I'm literally helping you up.
You're helping me? I can't
yes.
get up. I can lift my arms
okay,
to
you want
this
us
extent.
To, you want us to wheel you to your house in the gurney?
That's not what I said.
You just lifted your head just fine.
Yes, I lifted my head and my arms up to here.
After that,
I cannot
put your hands on here and pull yourself up.
I cannot do that.
Yes, you can.
I cannot do it in the ambulance. I cannot do it now.
You can do it now.
I just tried to inhale and
this woman's a hero, by the way.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better.
He can't inhale. Wow. He must be dead. Are you dead, sir?
I love her.
I don't understand. You
She's
are breathing
single?
Just
I mean, this is not right because I'm telling you. When you
he's
see him,
breathing.
He is he breathing. He has labored breathing.
He's not labored in the least. He's got an oxygen saturation that is 100%. He is breathing perfectly normally.
What is that tat she has?
So this is not labored breathing.
So you're just saying that you just let him lay down in here and he's going to go back to normal. This pain that he has doesn't have anything to do with what's going on with him, right?
This pain that he has is because he worked out. And that's
no,
what
he had... When he went
the accusations are about to start flying.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh, and what did they do for him?
They gave him fluids and they gave him something, a pill. I don't know what they gave him. Yeah.
For what?
For his pain and for the anxiety.
So you need narcotics? Is that what you need?
She's a hero. She's a hero. I've done this.
I just need pain reliever and anxiety medication. Because I'm in pain and I have anxiety. And I said nothing about narcotics.
And you just told me that this was not an anxiety attack. That this was something totally different.
If I could get up off this chair, I really would. But
yeah, you really should, because this is ridiculous.
I can't, and you're not going to keep me tugging.
Full of shit.
I'm full of shit.
Uh-huh.
Hey, he is not.
And I'm sorry, because.
All right, he just crossed the line there by repeating what she said. Listen.
She does not like anxiety disorders.
I've experienced. I've been in an environment where somebody had an anxiety attack. And that person was Dr. Drew. And
in the middle of the show, right?
In the middle of the show. And,
he had an anxiety attack.
And Loveline.
He did. You can blame Jon Favreau. Because
it always leads back.
There was a whole weird thing that was going on in the late 90s where celebrities thought they understood that, you know, they would go, listen, HIV doesn't turn into AIDS. And they would like explain to Dr. Drew like how it worked, you know? Uh-huh. And it used to drive Drew nuts because he was a doctor. Celebrities are the only people pompous enough to try to, who will say to the face of a doctor, you got it wrong. Let me tell you what's going on inside the body. And I think Favreau was getting into it with Drew a little bit.
Yeah.
And it like triggered.
Back when you could do that,
back
by the
when
way.
You could. And Drew, it triggered something in Drew.
Yeah.
And he said,
very common.
I have
word.
To go sit in my dressing room for some time being. And I'm from a place where, that you know, if you're from where I'm from, you're not allowed to have anxiety attacks
or
peanut allergies or lactose intolerant. You can't have anything. Yeah. It's just get up and go to work and then come home or whatever. Nobody has anything. There's no service dogs. There's no anxiety. There's no anything. Everyone's just trying to survive. So there's no anxiety. So, I said, where the hell's Drew going? And we used to tape, Rob, you feel my pain. We do one hour episodes a day. That's a lot of TV.
I hope you're getting a piece of the pie
so,
for that.
No, and I was constantly, I got the pan. So I was constantly saying, let's go, what's next? Yeah. You know, if a celebrity was late or something, it's like, let's just start. Pam Anderson will show up when she shows up. And so I was like, what happened to Drew? Where's Drew? And they said, he's in this room, the door's closed, and he's having an anxiety attack. I said, he is? I never even, like, that's the kind of thing, if one of my friends, if I was having an anxiety attack, my friend Ray would punch me until I stopped having an anxiety attack, and I probably would. It worked. So I said, are you kidding me? We have 2.5 shows to do, or whatever it was, in a long day. And I walked into his dressing room, and he was there with Stone Stan and the producers, and he may have been breathing into a bag. And they were asking, like, do you want cold water, room temperature water? Do you need another bag to breathe into? And I said, oh, you fuckers got to be kidding me. I said, are you kidding? Get your ass up. Get back on the stage and sit down and shut up. I'm doing
and
the show.
Do
you don't say shit. I'll talk. You don't do anything. I'm doing the show. I'm not waiting here another 10 minutes. I'm not waiting here another 10 seconds. Get up. Go sit on the stage and have your fucking anxiety attack on stage. I'll do all the talking. Don't worry.
And
I bet it goes away. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
He stood up like because he's a very dutiful guy. He just like stood up and he's like, and I said, get out there and sit down. We're starting the show.
Essentially, like, I feel here's
and don't
where we're
say
at
anything.
Now. Here's where
just
we're at.
Just have
now.
An anxiety attack.
I also feel like I couldn't say what I really wanted to say watching that thing because the perception in the media is all that this woman is 100% horrible. She's just had it. You don't know the 31 years of shit she's had to deal with some guy who seems, if she says you're 100% oxygenated, that means you could get up, you can pull yourself up. He chose not to because he wanted to just lay down. And that's a fact. But if you say that, then there's going to be some sort of interpretation of racism or whatever.
The reality, well, I don't know what he wasn't anything, right?
He seemed black to me.
Really?
What?
Oh, he had a lot of tats. Is he white?
I think it was a white.
This would be a black thing, right? If he's black, there's going to be a black thing.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
He was black.
He's black?
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah, Brian, you driven me down the
primrose. This is how they treat black people in Los Gatos emergency room. Share this with everybody.
Yeah. Oh, this is that. Is the dad black? Dad looks like a cowboy. I can't figure out what's going on anymore.
Sheriff David Clark.
I saw a lot of, all I saw was a guy's arm with a lot of tattoos. Yeah. And, all right.
Well, it's just
we'll figure it out. The point is this.
Yeah.
I think we're just dead.
Oh, maybe dad is black. All right. I yelled at Dr. Drew, knock it off. I got Dr. Drew out of this weird headspace where he was having a panic attack and into a headspace where he was going to work. And he got up and he sat down and I started the show. And at some point, 3 minutes later, I looked at him, and he's just in the show. Yeah.
Yes. Now, the difference between this thing, which I don't interpret as racism, as opposed to the Starbucks thing. Now, I get the Starbucks where the woman, Filipino lady, called the police because the two nice kids happened to be African American, just wanted to use the bathroom.
Oh, Starbucks was what?
Starbucks. This is what happened.
She's Filipino?
The woman, I said, this wasn't a Starbucks issue. This is a Filipino issue. Because, like, I'm sorry, but, like, Asians have a racist thing. You know what I'm talking about. Hey.
Yeah, he's all attitude.
He's just furiously nodding his head.
Let me just tell you this. Like,
hey,
my mom,
here, change my bedpan, bitch.
My mom was, okay, listen, about racism and Asians are the most racist.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just tell you this. Asians, like, my mother was racist against other Filipinos.
Oh, sure.
She said, like, I don't trust him. Why? He's Filipino. But, aren't we Filipino? Yes, I don't trust us either. That's your brother. Watch him. My mom would add a syllable to black. She wouldn't say black. She'd go, black! So just that, and it's like, whoa, hey, take it easy. So, I mean, when that happened, I went, this isn't like a store-wide Starbucks issue. This just happened to be a Filipino lady behind the banisters who's racist.
The weird thing about that whole story is I kept going, is the manager black or white? I didn't have another ethnicity on the table.
No, Filipino.
We could never figure it out.
Filipino.
But I was also
let me cut
like
the chase phrase, Filipino.
Okay. Wait, I want to know how you know, because I always have this theory, and my theory,
because I heard the accent. As soon as it's very simple when you go, you cannot use the bathroom in there. It's Filipino. She for some reason,
there's a tape?
She should have been in nursing. Yes, she should have been in nursing. That woman. But anyway, my point is, those kids were great kids because what they ended up doing is they ended up saying,
By the way, you got to call them boys. I don't think you can call them kids. But go ahead. Sorry.
No,
I think someone should get into trouble.
Give me money for college or give, it's like that. That's fine. Or like, I just, a dollar, whatever. They handled that situation.
It's
so incredibly graceful.
So wait a minute. Hold on, Rob.
Yes, sir.
I've always said, how come we don't hear of her nationality? Because
Filipino.
Because sometimes
I heard she's
it'll screw up the narrative of the story. Like if she's black, it's kind of a bad. It doesn't help. It doesn't work as well. If she's white, it's good. Filipino but kind of
Zimmerman,
muddies things.
Zimmerman fucked up everything in Florida for people,
right?
Because he just wasn't like the
how. But how did you find out?
He heard her accent.
I know, but they had released a tape.
There was some recording of it that I did hear. And
Maxipad is going to
take long.
Pull the tape right now.
All right.
Because we could never figure it out. But I always thought it was weird that the news never said one way or the other.
I know. Hey, listen. I know we got to stand up for our people, and they're good people. But that was just like, it's like a, there's that great.
There's an audio tape? Or
there's that great Filipino comedian.
Joe Coy.
There's his friend who's like Saint. What's his name? A great guy. I don't want to quote his joke here without telling his name.
Something
Saint,
know.
Whatever. But he's a great Filipino comedian. Forgive me for not knowing his name. He's got that joke. He said, like, hey, he says, you know when Filipino, he said, like, well, you know when you go black, you don't go back. And he said, then it's true because my sister married a black guy and she never went back to my mother's house.
That's a good line.
Something Saint John.
All right, we'll try to find it. We'll try to find the tape. This is a breakthrough for me. Mm. I'll tell you about LifeLock. FBI issued an urgent request to reboot your home or office internet router. Now, to disrupt a massive foreign-based malware attack, hundreds of thousands of routers are already compromised. This is the new crime of 2018 and beyond. It's your identity. It's all done over the computer. Look, just turn on the news. That's all you hear these days. Hundreds of thousands of routers already been compromised. So many threats in today's digital world. Good thing there's LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, which now includes the power of Norton Security for added protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help protect against identity theft. So, your info, it's out there. You don't want it to end up on the dark web, do you? So you get Norton and LifeLock, and it helps protect you against online threats like ransomware. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have one because you'll have LifeLock. They're the best, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Join now, and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam.
That was Edwin San Juan's joke, by the way.
I knew
great
it.
Great comic.
Yeah, right. So we have the tape. Dylan just heard it. He's convinced she's white. Look, and no offense, Rob. I mean, look,
Dylan
racist,
convinced.
Right? I'm racist as hell. But I'm just kidding. But
I'm saying I just know that's Filipino in my heart.
Let's hear it.
Like, let's take a listen.
You know the sound.
I know the sound.
I know it too. So
you do too.
Yeah. So let's hear this.
We might need a Joe Coy tiebreaker here. All right. Let's just hear it.
Police, 363. How may I help you? Hi, I have two gentlemen at my cafe that are refusing to make a purchase or leave. I'm at the Starbucks at 18th and Spruce.
All right, police, I'll be on as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Okay, that is the manager.
From Manila.
I was gonna say, hey, no, that's the manager. That's not the woman who reported the thing.
Yeah, she may have made the call.
That was not the one who said, you cannot use the bathroom. No, you're going in there. What are you doing? That's bad. Get out of there. I'm going to call the police on you. No, serious.
Where do we find that recording?
That's the one. That's the one who called.
Somebody live taped that in the Starbucks.
No, the other, because the Filipino, what they would do in that situation, they would stay and watch. They wouldn't use the phone because they know, they would, in their own racist mind, they think something bad's happening in there. I'm going to watch you call the police.
Who's the most the racist of all the Asian cultures in a power ranking order?
You see, now that's the whole thing about political
But they're racist against each other. See, here's the beauty of racism.
Okay, Koreans.
The Koreans, all right, can I just make this, I'm going to be a rainbow warrior here for a second. The thing that's insane about racism is we always act like we just sort of manufactured it and we have the patent on it here in the United States.
Right,
and
right.
We hold the patent for the next 10,000 years on racism. Here's how it works. The Japanese hate the Koreans. The Koreans hate the Philippines. And we just look at them as a big pile of Asians. We don't even look at them as
and
their own thing.
And
I would be confused. Like, why would that guy who looks like that guy hate that guy? That's how it works
it's all over the world, all the time. No,
I
it
agree.
Is absolute ignorance. Because it is. There's only one race, the human race. And, like, truthfully, the whole idea of differences in human beings. It's just, it's all cultural.
I don't like to call it a race because I feel like the black folks would win. You know what I mean? Let's call it a marathon. Kenya.
Oh, no, worse.
Kenya.
What it is, it's simple. If we all came from Africa and there was a genetic mutation caused white people. a genetic mutation that caused white people. That's all.
Hey,
so, you know, that was, it's a simple, if you look at it scientifically, we're
the mutants.
Are you saying we're all
black? Zapata, any more clarity on
this? Do you have that?
We're still trying to find it. I mean,
no, but maybe it's just in my head, but I guarantee you. I know it's a Filipino. Listen, don't you go in the bathroom. No, there's two men. Two black guys are going in the bathroom. Black guys in the bathroom. You need to go in there. I'm telling you, you call the police right now. And then, of course, the woman behind the counter, the nice lady, she's going to listen to the Filipino because, you know, she just took her blood pressure and she knows if she goes to the hospital, you know, this is the people who take care of her mother or whatever. And so she trusted the Filipino lady. And then she just panicked.
Hey, Max,
it was a panic. It
Max
was a, not a good thing.
When you're done looking for that, there's some footage. It's on the dark web. It's a Filipino guy.
Black!
It's a Filipino guy with a pellet gun. You'll see him shooting the Hindenburg. He's on the ground.
I have no idea.
It's black and white. Go find it. You can barely tell he's Filipino, but a lot, it's always cropped out when they just show, all they show is the Hindenburg crashing. They don't show the Filipino guy with the Daisy air rifle who's on the ground.
If you turn seen that version.
If you turn up the audio.
You're gonna see it.
If you crank up the audio. Yeah, then, well, oh, the humanity. Oh.
That's right.
There it is. See?
There it is. Find it.
All right. I'm looking.
I believe it.
Or maybe I made it up. I don't know.
No, come
Find
on.
Find it.
Blah!
All right. Where are we? What's the next story?
Well, a new sex robot named Samantha wowed an audience of stunned academics when it showed that she was able to say no to sex. Mm. Love robots have been invented with the intelligence to go on strike and shut down completely if they're pestered when they're not in the mood.
Oh, God.
The robot has sensors hidden under her skin.
So there's got to be an override to that one.
To what
respond
end?
To affection like a real human.
Hey, I paid $3,000 for this piece of shit. What do you mean?
She also has a revolutionary electronic brain, which puts her in charge in the bedroom. She can be switched from family mode to romantic to sex. She can even go to extra naughty, if that's how you're feeling. And her sensors are also designed to detect when somebody's touching becomes too aggressive or disrespectful, which will result in her turning into a lump of plastic completely shutting down.
I don't buy that for 1 minute. Because why would they want to undersell the whole point of this thing? I tell you, I don't know if Einstein really said that whole statement about like, well, you know, if when our communication, exceeds our ability to when our technology, exceeds our ability to communicate, we'll have a generation of idiots. Whatever, if that's true or not, if he said that or not, that led to this.
Yeah,
this is just a complete alienation. People like it's amazing to me when you see like the person on the video. She's looking at her phone and then she falls into the fountain. It's like, hey, no.
That's good stuff.
Well, I had
the universe telling you something.
Rob, I think I'm going to help with the no, the occasional no with the sex doll, which is. It's better. It's better for us.
Yeah?
We need it. The instant gratification world we're living in.
Oh, yeah, that's drug-addict behavior.
Yeah, it's made everyone miserable.
It's drug-addict behavior.
And I used to say years ago when we'd be doing Loveline and somebody would call in and they would say, like, I'm faking my orgasm. Remember when fake orgasms used to be a big thing, like pit bull attacks?
Maybe for you, buddy.
No.
It was always a joke. They'd talk about it on,
great Seinfeld episode.
And the fake orgasm. Right. So I would say to the person that was, like, faking it and they were worried that their boyfriend was going to, like, catch on or something like that. Yeah. I would say somewhere between every seventh and 12th orgasm, don't have it. Like, when you have sex, just go, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just not there. Like, I tell him, somebody saw that episode of Oprah where the woman got her face ripped off by the monkey. Yeah. And just, like, it keeps flashing into my head. And I am so, then he will believe every fake orgasm after that because you threw in one encounter where you just couldn't get there.
Yeah.
He'll never question it.
That's good.
And I feel the same way with the sex, robot whore.
I don't know what
I'll relationship tell you where this is going. This is going when the robot... When the robot tells you no on occasion, it makes it much more... You're looking for realism.
Yeah, that's real.
Yep.
That's real.
It's
and that's
going to
help... When she says yes the following day.
How about more realism if it says no, like, most of the time? That's realism.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's not overdo it. But
You're paying for it.
Well, mm-hmm. it is a dehumanizing thing. It's just continuing in our culture of less interaction. That just goes to show, you know, when you have like an ugly strange interaction with a human being in L.A.? Because you can go so long in L.A. without really interacting with other human beings because you live in your apartment, or at least the human beings that you want to interact with that you don't know. You live in your apartment, whatever, or your house, if you have enough money to get a house here in L.A., God knows how expensive they are. And then you have your house and your communication there, and then you drive in your car, which is your car, it's your separate little isolation vehicle.
Sure.
And you go to your job, which is again another isolation thing. And then so
or you hit a drive-through window, you don't even have to get out.
You don't have to have this interaction. When it does happen, there's like there's kind of like the triggered thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas in New York, people are in your face. You have to have some sort of at least fake it. That you can have an interaction with another human being and deal with it in a way that's, which I think is good. You know, you don't get smooth from smooth. You get smooth from friction. So you have that. It's a weird interchange.
Paper. Like hey, that.
Yes.
We found the Filipino lady at Starbucks, but is it a different Starbucks?
Yeah, so this happened a week later at a Starbucks in L.A. where a black guy asked to use a bathroom. He was denied. Then a white guy got to use it, so he confronts the barista
But why is she working in both of those Starbucks?
She's a hard worker.
Does she have the pellet gun on her at the time? All right. Yeah, so we're going to hear that?
Yeah, let's see. Right, let's take it. A listen.
Guys, so I would like Starbucks right here on Redondo, on Artesia, and Hawthorne.
You need to stop recording.
This man right here said he hasn't made a purchase yet. He's in line to make a purchase, and you guys gave him the code, right? Isn't that what you did?
My business right now.
No, this is not your business. This is not your business.
This is private business.
This is not your business, though. Okay, you may be a store manager, but you're not in charge.
You're actually not allowed to be in here. You need to.
I'm not allowed to be in here anymore.
Yeah,
why? You see, they're so mad. Why are they upset with me, Weston? What did I do?
I don't know.
I just tried to use a bathroom like you did, and they gave it to you. Is it my skin color? Is it my skin color? Is it my skin color? Is it my skin color?
Is it black?
I could use a bathroom, but Weston could.
Amen.
My Weston may be my skin color. Hey, but this is about to be on social media. It's about to go in the shade room. You guys know what
the shade room?
Black!
Well, that's a Filipino.
And of course, the white guy's name is Weston.
Now, there is a slight chance.
Weston was Asian, wasn't he?
No.
Was Asian, for sure.
Weston was Asian.
He was Chinese, for sure.
He looked Asian to me.
Your height. Bowl haircut.
I don't know what he was. I knew he couldn't be trusted. That's all I know.
There's a better view.
The bowl haircut says Northern China. Sorry, he's got some height. Don't be completely racist. And okay, now I will say this. There is a slight chance that I was wrong about the Filipino thing, but I guarantee you I wasn't.
Okay.
But anyway, the Filipino thing, I could have
I thought he was standing next to an Asian guy.
I don't think so. Go back. Go back 2 seconds.
Listen, I grew up with that. I grew up with those Hong Kong guys my entire childhood in San Francisco. That's what they look like, the bowl cut. You don't have options in haircut.
Yeah.
He looks Asian.
Rocker. He's got glasses. He's got a Texas.
Wow,
he's got
it's an interesting.
He's got a book on calculus right there in his hand. He's Asian.
He has an abacus.
I'm saying, do you see he's got a rhino horn in his right pocket?
That guy's not going to go to the bathroom and do anything.
I was going as an Asian for Halloween, I'd pick out those frames and style my hair that way. I just thought he was an Asian guy, but I thought maybe it was an Asian community.
It's Redondo Beach, you said. Guys, there's a non-backlit.
No, I'm confused again. Corrected him.
Listen to me. There's a non-backlit shot of him at the beginning of the video. Please get that so we can actually see him.
All right.
You heard Brian.
Listen.
Every picture we see him has a goddamn sun behind him.
Oh, that's
right,
true.
Brian?
Jesus.
He seemed Asian to me.
You got to go by the bowl cut front or back.
He said a city, and then somebody corrected his city.
Oh, I heard. Yeah, I heard him say Redondo. But
and I heard Redondo.
Someone said a city. Now I got to watch the whole thing again. All right, let me do Castro. But play from the top because he said I'm filming at the Redondo, whatever. And then somebody said Arleta or something. Corrected him. I don't know why wanted to do that, all right, let's go watch that. Let's see if we can find a good patient.
Guys, so I would like Starbucks right here on Redondo, on Artesia, and Hawthorne. This man right here said he hasn't made a purchase yet. He's in line to make a purchase, and you guys gave him the code, right? Isn't that what you did?
My business right now.
No, this is not your business. This is not your business.
Private business.
This is not your business, though. Okay, you may be a store manager, but you're not in charge. I'm not allowed to be in here anymore.
Around the counter.
You see, they're so mad. Why are they upset with me, Weston? What did I do?
I don't know.
I just tried to use a bathroom like you
Weston,
did.
Weston, very Asian name, by the way.
Thick Asian accent.
Is it my skin color? Is it my skin color? Is it my
I
skin
couldn't
color?
Understand him. What did he say?
Is it my skin color?
Sound like I don't know.
But Weston could.
Amen.
I feel it may be my skin color. But this is about to be on social media. It's about to go in the shade room. You guys know that.
Okay, now Weston, by the way, that is the most the first name you come up when you move and you have kids in the States. The first name you say, if you're from Hong Kong, it's Weston. I swear to God, that is the Asian. No white kids are named Weston. I swear to God.
So Sean King says on Twitter that he was denied at Starbucks. Uh-oh. They denied him the code. He then finds a white man, Weston.
That's racist right there. He was not white. He was totally a second generation Hong Kong kid.
Now I'm offended.
All right. Let me tell you about Cash Challenge. I'm kind of swimming. I started off by not... I started off thinking the guy having the anxiety attack was white, Because it's kind of the white man's burden, right? Yeah. The anxiety attack.
A lot on your mind.
I mean, it means there's. We've certainly evolved if brothers are having anxiety attacks. Because that was Rich Whitey's realm. So that was the first screw up. I didn't know that guy was black. Yeah. And now I think this guy, Weston's Asian. But
totally.
I also thought the Starbucks was in Arleta, but maybe it's on Arleta.
Artesia.
What? Artesia. Yeah. Which is next to
Redondo.
I Googled Weston Starbucks video, and all the granted, we've learned that news can be wrong, but everyone's crediting him as attributing him as a white man.
You know what, though? Because truthfully, like, here's the thing. Like, DACA, the reason why DACA will not be overturned, because most of those people, excuse me, are Asian. They're not Hispanic. That's why, you know, they're not getting, that's why the Asians always keep it on the down low. No, sorry, they want to keep this quiet, but, you know, we're not there legally either.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm telling you, that's why the DACA thing will not, because it's mostly Asians. They're not going to kick Asians out. Mm. You know, they're, your math scores for your universities would drop precipitously.
What would Weston sound like if you could ask him a few questions today about his ethnicity?
Yamo Kowloon Chua.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, see, Brian, argue chua. With that.
That means, are you fucking kidding me?
Yamo Kowloon Chua.
In Cantonese.
Yeah,
yamo
that's right.
Lun is fuck. So yamo gao lun chua.
Yeah.
Anyway, so no, he's totally like Weston. I'm telling you, because that's the name that Asians think is like Joe
Anglo.
Nah, Weston. No, and he Weston. You want an American name? I don't get kicked out. Right?
Weston or Sheraton?
No. All right.
Real it in, Wes. Let me tell you about the Castrol Edge. Tech advances made engines smaller, more powerful, more efficient, but they're working harder. That's why you got to go with Castrol Edge, and they've collaborated with Electronic Arts to present adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer. Inspired by the need for speed video games, you can find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. See for yourself and see how Castrol Edge can deliver under the most demanding circumstances. Check out Castrol USA YouTube page. All right, one more.
All right. Well, if you work from home, you might want to consider moving to Vermont, because the state is offering $10,000 to remote workers to relocate over there. With an aging population of about 625,000 residents, Vermont has shrinking tax base all over the place. You can help them by moving up there sometime in 2019. You get $5,000 the first year, $5,000 for the second year. All you have to do is just work from home in Vermont.
I like working from home in terms of traffic, except for Vermont doesn't have any goddamn traffic. And all they have is the maple industry over there, where they tap maple trees, right? How can you do that from your living room?
And Ben and Jerry's.
Yes, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just figured out where it was. Skagit Valley Casino Resort in Bow, Washington, on July 27th and 28th. I knew I was somewhere.
I got it right here. Where is Bow, Washington?
I don't know, but eventually, I mean, that's my agent. Yeah, that's what I know. He just like, no, it's easy. You just fly in a chalet. You drive 9 hours. You get an Uber. And then you get there. You wake up in the morning. You drive another 2 hours. You sleep in the car. It's easy. It's a simple gig. You'll love it.
I used to have one of those guys, too. The difference between people making travel plans who don't need to go on the trip versus I'm going to be with you, there's quite a chasm between how that works.
Yeah. My buddy Jamie Lisso lives up in Alaska as if it's a normal. He's a comedian. Great comedian. He's on our show, Real Rob, streaming now. And he says, I live in Alaska. No problem. I'll get to L.A. No problem. No, I just leave Thursday. I fly into Seattle. And then, like, you know, I'll be in L.A. Tuesday morning. No problem. I just I sleep over. You know, I take a bus.
Right. It's right near the Canadian border.
Oh, we'll be there on our cruise.
Yeah.
It's right in between Seattle and Vancouver. Great country out there.
Beautiful,
man.
Up there.
That is awesome. Vancouver's awesome. Seattle's awesome. And everything in between
is
awesome.
It's a weird thing, though. Up in Washington, they got like a lot of like drive-by like shootings, but it's not like gang-related. It's just simply people are so angry on the roads. I don't know if it's because it's weather-related, but they'll have like road rage is like in Washington is like the highest of any state.
Really?
Yeah, which is like a weird thing. I could be just as wrong about that as I was about the Filipinos.
Well,
look it up, Maxipata. Meanwhile, if you're going to hit the road, you need some insurance. How about Geico? You can save hundreds of dollars in car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Work from home in Vermont. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket, buy a couple tickets, see Rob Schneider and Bo Washington. It is geico.com. 15 minutes now, could be saving 15% more in your car insurance. Yes.
You'll never see the girl from Geico go on social media saying anything outrageous. She's got a gig for life, and she knows it. Mm. She's going to hang in there, the Geico girl.
Yeah.
She's just like, that's it. You know what? I'm staying out of this whole thing. I got my gig. I'm hanging in there. I'm not going to like.
It's an interesting
progressive,
thing.
Progressive, you mean flow.
Is it progressive?
Yeah, flow.
Flow.
I thought it was Geico. It's not?
Well, okay. Here's an interesting.
That's
an,
a little Geico. Okay.
There's an interesting
He's
thing.
He's not going to say anything either.
Which is, the more you weigh in. Somebody just told me the other day.
What is this?
They said. Buddy Seth MacFarlane, he sent a tweet saying he was embarrassed to be on Fox Network or whatever it is.
Yeah. Steve Levitan said it yesterday.
Right, yeah.
And then he backed up.
I thought to myself, oh, yeah, because Fox needs him. You know what I mean? Like, the more when you are doing the voice of the Affleck duck, you better play it close to the vest. You know what I mean? And I'm wondering.
They're not going to get another guy to go Affleck. They're not going to get that.
So what I'm saying is like.
Do you know what he said, though, to lose his job?
He made a joke about the tsunami that hit Japan.
Yeah, this is, you know, what's his face?
Gilbert Gottfried,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the joke was like,
what do you know about Asian history?
Yeah. What an idiot. What a dumb thing.
Like, well, look, he made a bunch of stupid jokes. But here's me point. The guys who do the most talking are probably, and girls, the least vulnerable. The more vulnerable, probably the more you're keeping your opinions to yourself these days. Right. Like, Alec Baldwin goes on and says Alec Baldwin wants, because it's not like Alec Baldwin's work is going to dry up or he's not going to have another gig or they're not going to let him host a show or do whatever.
No, he's part of the group.
There's an interesting, I'd like to put together a chart, but the most talking versus the safe. It's like a sort of the biggest dude in high school gets to say whatever he wants.
It's a form of like fascism is what it really is. Because if you don't agree with like the group intelligentsia, you're attacked viciously and demonized. It's a real assault on.
I agree, but I'm not even saying good or bad or what the opinions are left or right. I'm just saying. The spokespeople that have sweet ass gigs who are hammering a check every month and never want this gravy train to end. And by the way, if Flo gets shit canned, she doesn't host Celebrity Match Game for $10 million a pop. She's out of work actress. I'm just wondering if those people are doing the least talking. And if they got coached up like the rookie camp at NFL. Like, listen, their agents must have come flying in and went, do you have a Twitter account? Get rid of it.
I do agree with like Tom Arnold. Like, why didn't somebody take away Roseanne's phone? They should have taken away and just given her a fake phone or whatever. But it's like, you know, it is a. It's a real deal. You know?
We have top 10 drive-by shootings by state.
Oh man,
California,
Washington's up there.
Number one.
Yeah,
it's California, then Texas.
California is 148, and Texas is 60.
Well, no, drop off.
You know, as Mike Binder's old joke is, well, you know, some of Washington's key people got injured. Give them a year to come back, and they'll be back in first place. You know, they need a little recovery time for some of their injuries.
Hold on.
Of their key shooters got hurt.
The populace of it's tied with Illinois, Washington. No one think, you know, Chicago, Seattle, whatever, but. The population of California versus the population, I don't think I'm going to have more math work. We're going home. But the point is this. The population of California, I think statistically, Washington is kind of kicking our ass. If these are just numbers, number shot, because we must have many more people in California than in Washington. But anyway, I'll play the clip from Real Sports tomorrow. I'll tell you, you can pull it off the screen there. I'll give Real Rob a plug. Season Thank 2 you. Available. You can binge watch now if you like on Netflix. And go check out Rob doing stand-up. Go to his website, robschneider.com. Check out RJ Bell's Dream Preview. We love RJ Bell on the show, and you can check that out at Podcast One. You can, we're doing live shows. Go to amcroll.com, find out where we're going to be, Brian. Yes?
We got another still. I sent it to Chris. I don't know if he got it or not. I got another still of Weston from Daily Mail.
Let me see this Asian guy.
Continues.
He'll pull up there in about.
I'm going to say Korean. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's as Asian as it gets.
Brian, I'm with you. That's a white guy.
Says a white man named Weston.
No, that's Asian. Are you kidding me?
What? All right.
The plot thickens.
Look at the glasses. Come on, guys. That's Asian. Look at the jacket.
Tell August to book Weston.
Look at the Mao shirt.
So,
I think it's a turtleneck.
Next time. Give me that stupid picture of Weston, would you please? Till next time, this is Adam Kroll over Rob Schneider, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian saying mahalo. Balak!
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 886-341-744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Two for one. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com for tickets on everything that has to do with us. Go to AdamCarolla.com.